You're listening to Love and Light with Dr. Lisa, Everyday Living in Peace. Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today, and most people don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. The key to this is simple: love. Join me, Dr. Lisa Collins, for the next hour as I unpack and identify the need for a peaceful, love-filled existence by engaging the challenging and hard topics of life. On this show, you will lean into the healing practices that enlarge your spiritual reality through the act of love. This kind of love begins with yourself and your neighbor and transcends age, race, sex, generation, class, and sexual identity. The world changes when we root ourselves in love. Love and Light with Dr. Lisa starts now. Oh, hello, everyone. Happy New Year. I'm Dr. Lisa, and you're listening to Love and Light, Living Every Day in Peace on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience how to bring more love into your everyday life. We're here every second and fourth Wednesday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 12 Mountain, 4 Eastern, and we will have tools for living every day in peace. Life is often full of ups and downs, and most people do not work through one experience before they're off to the next experience or crisis or problem, especially during the pandemic. This pandemic is a roller coaster of changes that can occur daily and sometimes from minute to minute. How can you take care of yourself during these tumultuous times? I want to welcome back Dr. Iris L. Davis, a functional physician and intuitive medical consultant, to discuss living a life of joy. If you don't remember, please go back and look at the episode of December 8th, where Dr. Davis discussed healing from within the body. And at that time, we discussed how the body responds to a variety of experiences. Dr. Davis shared her lived experiences, including living pain-free after 2 decades of chronic pain. Dr. Davis also shared many tools for healing. Today, we approach the topic of joy. Thank you, Dr. Davis, for being a guest on Love and Light with Dr. Lisa.
Oh, it's such a delight and such an honor to always be on your program.
Well, thank you, Dr. Davis. Joy in ambiguous times. These are difficult times indeed. I mean, many people are struggling with food, health, safety, finances. The list goes on and on. What do you say about all this?
You know, I think I'm always struck by the sense that people don't always live in ambiguous times. Some of us have the fortune not to feel that our life is as ambiguous. But the reality is that often once you get past the surface of a person, I always find rivers flowing, streams, sometimes jets of issues that are within their lives. They're not seen from within the cover, but they are there from within. And so I think that what something like the pandemic does is it tears part of the cover. And then there's very real realities. You know, when you can't get housing, you can't find a way to get your children cared for so that you can go to work. You can't, so there are very real possibilities. But even within those possibilities of extreme difficulty, the real issue is what can you do to give yourself the greatest ability so that you're not so weighed down that you can't even function to overcome it, to change it, to cope with it. And so the most important thing that you can work on and change is yourself. Because you are the strength that you need from within. No one else, no matter what their strength level is, can take away your pain. You have to allow the door to be open to release that pain, that trauma, that wound to be loosened, lifted, and healed.
Wow.
Is that understandable?
Yes, that is totally understandable and so on point. I have many friends who are working in education, and no one is talking about lifting any pain or trying to help a wound, or people are just pushing forward on and on in many jobs and many places. So
in healthcare, I have watched private practice after private practice either die or condense or really struggle to find a way to keep through. So the CEOs, for example, at this time in healthcare are making massive. But where is the money that should be going, for example, to the nurses, the nurses' aides, the people who deliver your food, the people who clean the rooms, the physicians, the physician assistants, I can literally name an entire battery of people that should be receiving some type of remuneration for literally working through a period when the health system is at this point very close to collapse because it's so overwhelmed. And right. Yet, so, you know, so it's not that I don't think that there's injustice, but even to work against the injustice and yet bring about justice within your own life, you still have to come from the most grounded, clear place you can. And to remember that even within anger is the capacity for enlightenment. You can be angry and just sit there and have 5,000 tantrums, or you can be angry and say, okay, how can I use this as a point to grow, to change, and to bring about change?
Yeah, I think many people could really benefit from that. So what I hear you saying is that not only do we need to pay attention to what's happening with us, but there's a way that we can coexist what is happening in the world and take care of ourselves.
Right. I don't believe in having any practice that's like up on the mountain somewhere or out in the desert, over in that cave. It's about living in everyday society and in everyday life. By the time you get home, you're so worn. By the time you finish getting off the Zoom and taking care of the kids on Zoom, are you so worn out that you're like snapping at yourself? You're snapping at the children. You're snapping if you have a partner. You're snapping at the neighbor. You're snapping. That means you are in overwhelm. And there has to be a moment. It's better for you to take 2 minutes and go off to the bathroom and take a moment. Like, for example, I tell people, take a moment just to recognize that you as the soul, whatever you wish to call that presence within mm-hmm. you, just needs a moment to fully go in. And so one of the first things I tell people is just check your pulse. Is your pulse racing already? What's your pulse? Is your pulse 84? Is your pulse 86? Let's just do 10 breaths. They said, well, why are you doing that? I said, because all of this is being imprinted on your brain, your hormonal system, your pituitary, all of your energetic body, everything. You're changing you're already defining your traumatic path. Just sitting here, and can we just do that for a second? If we just say, if we can just do, 646, breathe in from 6 from your abdomen and hold it for 4 and breathe out for 6. And again. Hold it for 4. Breathe out for 6. And one more time. Breathe in for 6. Using your abdomen, hold it for 4. And breathe out for 6, using your abdomen to push your diaphragm. That means to pull your belly in. Now, just doing that, check your pulse again. And I'm sure many people didn't measure it, but you already feel smaller. You already feel calmer. So what we're interested in, what are the coping skills? That took all of 30 seconds.
I'm about to fall asleep.
Exactly. It took 30 seconds to reset your vagus, to reset your emotion, mm-hmm. all of what's called your limbic and hippocampal system, to reset your adrenals. Your adrenals are little tiny glands that sit on top of your kidney. But it reset your whole sympathetic and autonomic nervous system. Now, people may not know what those are, but I'd like to remind most people that they don't tell their body when to breathe, and they don't tell their heart when to beat. You have all these different forms of pacemakers and constant biologic activity going on. That's your autonomic nervous system. That's the one that's millions and millions of years old. We have this conscious system, but the conscious system still doesn't tell you when to breathe. It can help you to reset that part of your body known as the autonomic nervous system.
So as a physician, do you do this during the day? Do you reset your nervous system during the day? when you're working?
You've obviously never been on a medical ward. Because I'll tell you, you learn.
I just thought I'd ask.
Not only in a medical ward, but in a medical clinic where everybody's like saying, and you're like, that one doesn't have on the mask. And is that machine working? Do we have a purifier? There's constant pressure to perform in medicine. Mm-hmm. And you're given so much time for it, no matter how sick someone is. And you've got to figure out how to care for that person within these institutional guidelines. So there's constant pressure on people in every form of work. There's a production piece and how much you're supposed to produce. And if there is not a clear sense of how people contribute to that, like all of this anger over people who are not earning enough to really function in life, they're working 8-10 hours a day and they can barely afford their rent. You know, I think that it is crucial to recognize that at different levels of society, there's different levels of padding. So everyone has stress, but it's how do you help people to cope with stress as they're trying to change their condition?
Absolutely. Hold that thought. It's time for us to go for a break. We are here with Dr. Iris Davis, who is a functional physician who is sharing her experience, Joy of Healing, with us. And we will stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to invest in your best self? Join Sabrina Wright as she shares tools for creating joy and balance in your life every single day. Sabrina is here to help you become your greatest advocate and empower you to make decisions that will help you live your best life. The Live the Good Life Show, connecting your physical and spiritual self, every second Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Find Sabrina at the Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, balance.com.
When trauma is stored in the body, it can subconsciously affect and determine our life experience. Learn how the mind connects with the body and how you can pursue your own healing and growth so that your light shines brighter than ever. On the Law of Attraction Traction with host, my mom, Corinne Beerfield. Every third Tuesday of the month at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Corinne and her services as a holistic, heart-centered counselor, visit CorinneBeerfield.com.
Feeling stuck? Journey into a new exciting reality today. Join Coach Christine Clark as she helps you forge the life you desire through processes that shape, hone, refine, elasticize, and transform you. Go beyond the curve and call in your unique destiny. Tune into the show, Forging a Life, live every fourth Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Christine, visit SunglowTransformation.com.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day, and we love to hear from you. Leave comments and questions for the host to address live, on the air, and get to know the faces behind the voices you love. Just go to Facebook and search for Transformation Talk Radio.
Yeah, yippee-skippy to that, baby.
We're back on Love and Light, Living Every Day in Peace. And my guest, my honored guest, Dr. Iris L. Davis, is a functional physician and an intuitive medical consultant, is sharing her personal experience on how to cultivate joy and medical experience about our bodies. Before we continue, I want to make sure everyone knows if you would like to know more about Dr. Davis or you'd like to contact her, you can contact her at
FunctionalMedicineCenter.org.
All right.
Did I do it again? That's why I sent it to you. FunctionalMedicineCenter.com.
Okay, awesome. So we were talking about the body and you said, made a comment like, you know, taking a few minutes of a deep breath could stop you from yelling at yourself or someone else.
So it also gives you a moment just to reflect. And that's, we often think of joy as only as rapture. You know, that moment when you're in love. Oh, I want $1 million. Oh, I got a raise. But joy sometimes just comes from having everybody in the house together. Joy just sometimes comes from coming in and saying, oh, I have a home. And I'm housed for the moment. You need to recognize joy in all its iterations.
So what I'm hearing is the spectrum of joy.
That's it.
You need to recognize the
spectrum of joy. And you need to understand how joy is healing. Like, take, for example, we happen to both be African-American and have had prior dialogues about inherited trauma and how that trauma can impact you. But when I think of my ancestors, and I think that based on what we've discussed before, we're aware of traumatic patterns of behavior that have been passed on. For example, if you talk about beating and physical abuse and the way physical altercations, I can remember folks saying, I'll beat you first so they won't kill you. Mm-hmm. I still knew those elders who were from the early part of the 19th mm-hmm. century, mm-hmm. you know, but I'll do anything to keep you alive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, that's a reality.
Yeah, absolutely.
But those same people also knew how to throw a hell of a party, make some fabulous dishes out of very little,
mm-hmm.
put in a garden, walk in the garden.
Right.
Bring everybody together. Open their heart to sharing what little they had with others. You know, most charity, if you really look at it, actually comes from people who can very well actually not afford it that well. The greatest amount of charity proportionately comes from the segments of society that doesn't have as much money, whether it's the middle class, the lower middle class, the poor, the truly impoverished. It's when I take care of someone homeless and he says, you know, I got somebody next to me and they need that too. You understand? That's giving. That causes joy.
Well, that's interesting that you...
receiving a piece of food, right? I'm sorry, did you want to say something? Go ahead.
No, I was just saying it's interesting that you said that because when I looked at the Book of Joy from Desmond Tutu, Archbishop Desmond Tutu just recently passed, and His Holiness, the 14th Dalai Lama, they had 8 pillars of joy were discussed in their book. And so you're discussing a few of them. Humility was one, acceptance, humor, perspective, compassion, forgiveness, gratitude, and generosity.
Those things can be achieved. I often use that same old statement when I think of the people who I've seen in systemic true poverty, who literally don't know where they're going, how they're going to sustain it. I think of all the hidden networks of support I see where people say, I don't have enough stamps to make it to the end of the month. Or with people that are not even at that level, but you have someone who's at a higher level but says, well, I paid my rent. So, you know, like I had a friend once who we all started figuring out that, she bought that new house and that's why she lost 50 pounds. Because so we started saying, okay, she doesn't need housewarming gifts. She needs dinner once a week, you know.
Right.
You know, you figure out how you can lighten your load, someone else's load, bring a smile. All of those are acts of power in the light.
I love that. You know, I love that, right? Love
and
light.
Well, we just made it up. So, but anyway, it's acts of power in the light. And I think that when you allow that light to flow, that brings not only joy to you, it brings joy to the world. And we then begin to work on what I call that butterfly effect. I can't tell you what the wings of that butterfly affected on the other side of the world. But, there is no energy wasted in physics. All energy begins to change other energies. And so only you can decide on the energy that comes from within you that is not only joy, but joy is healing. Like people say, well, how do you heal that trauma? Part of it is allowing joy to come in, and part of it is allowing trauma to be released. And there are all these different forms of methods for releasing trauma. And it doesn't mean that the thing that caused the trauma may not always disappear tomorrow. I have rarely seen it just disappear.
Right.
But as you elevate your own life and your own condition, then you are better able to see ways to get around the trauma, find another way outside of that trauma, or find a way to change the trauma.
Okay.
Notice so I said all of it. So it's this long perspective of living in the moment.
All right. So living in the moment.
And preparing for the future.
All right. So living in the moment, preparing for the future. One thing that I could do and listeners can do is to give myself permission to allow joy in. Mm-hmm. That's the first step I heard you talk about.
Right.
And allowing joy in could be taking a breath.
Mm-hmm.
It could
taking be a break.
Taking a break.
And I can't have this, but I can have this. And this is going to be a treat. You can decide that something's a treat just because
it is a treat.
At this moment, you make it a treat. It is your decision whether or not it's ugh, or it's a treat. Like just when we eat, we forget. People ask me, they say, well, I'm not religious. I said, it's not about religion. Let's talk about it not in that faith-based organized method, but let's just talk about where do all these traditions come from? Where does grace come from for eating? What are you doing? You're not just looking at the food and say, oh, thank you. Okay, everybody. No. First of all, you're looking at the food. You're looking at the setting. You're linking to whoever is with you. You are thanking those who brought that to you, who grew it, who got it to your store. And you're preparing your body to receive it. One of the best energy medicine stories I ever heard was about a homeless person who didn't change his diet, but improved his health merely by going into gratitude for the food he could receive and telling his body to use every aspect. I thought that was a remarkable story.
That is a remarkable story.
Right. So joy actually changes your immunologic, hormonal, neurobiologic response.
Joy changes my body.
Pain changes your body. Doesn't pain change your body?
I don't like pain.
Doesn't trauma change your body?
I don't want that either.
Changes your body. So one of the things that you can do is joy. Joy will change your body in a way where it manifests a better health and coping.
So you've given us a few tools. Breathing, we did that in the first segment. You talked about pausing before you eat.
Well, I'm just talking about, like, for example, I'm not asking you to pray a certain way or to think a certain way, but I am asking you to just possibly consider sitting there in a moment. It's a meditation. It's really a meditation.
Pausing before
and
you
it's
eat.
It's a meditation that allows you to take a moment from your very hurried and harried life sometimes and say, at this moment, I am here to replenish my body. Let me be in gratitude. Let me be in gratitude for the food. Let's just say all you have to eat is an apple. And maybe that's all you have. I want you to sit there for a hot second if you're not starving and just look at the apple. Smell the skin. Feel the skin. Feel how the apple feels. Close your eyes, take that breath, breathe out, and finally let yourself sink your teeth into the apple and feel that juice shoot into your mouth. Just close your eyes.
Wow.
You can taste that apple juice. And now I want you to take just one chewing bite on the piece of apple you put in your mouth and feel the texture. And eat it slowly. And as you're chewing, you can feel that going down your esophagus into your stomach. And it just all feels like a comfort, a silk coming down upon you. That's all just based on being in the moment.
Yeah, in the moment.
Most of us don't allow ourselves to eat that way. We're eating while we're talking and doing two things. And you can't even remember what you ate.
Yeah, take a moment. Take a moment.
And so there's a reason why they say, put everything else away. Try to focus on the food in front of you. Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons you find out I ate the whole tub. The tub of what?
Potato chips.
But you can't even remember that you had the whole tub. It was just that. That's not a process whereby you are living that experience. If you decided to have potato chips, the potato chips are not for you.
I love potato chips. Potato chips are my jam.
Give yourself 15 potato chips and enjoy each one.
I need to slow down on the potato chip. There's no doubt about that, Dr. Iris.
Use all your senses. Make it a sensual experience of enjoyment.
I'm going to try that. I'm going to try that, Dr. Iris. I'm going to try to slow down on those. I thank you so much. We're coming up on a break. We have, if you're just joining us, we're talking about bringing joy into your life with very practical senses with Dr. Iris L. Davis, who's a functional doctor and a medical intuitive consultant. Hang on and come back with us, and we're going to have some more tools and
are you done being afraid to jump into the life that's waiting for you? Are you ready for a real shift? I invite you to tune in every Tuesday with me, Tracy L., on the Tracy L. Clark Show, where we will teach you how to live your extraordinary life. At 8 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, where I will provide the tools and the steps needed to help you transcend perceived limitations and move forward with an extraordinary life. For more information, visit me at TracyLClark.com.
Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today. Most of us don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Learn how to break through these barriers and live a transformative life on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa, every day living in peace, every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Dr. Lisa, visit EducationThroughEngagement.com.
Life can be demanding, and you may feel like you're constantly on the go, but sometimes our wheels are spinning and we're too focused on making them turn to notice we're stuck in the mud. Tune into The Pause with me, Ellen Wyoming Deloy, every second and fourth Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Learn how to stop, reflect, and start moving forward with intention. And if you're really looking to jumpstart your personal development, schedule a free consultation with me at ellenwyomingdeloy.com.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
We're back on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. I have Dr. Iris Davis here, who is a functional physician and a medical intuitive consultant, or an intuitive medical consultant. We're talking about finding joy to encourage maximum wellness. Thank you, Dr. Iris, for being here. And during the break, you gave an example of another form of cutting joy out of our life through work. Do you mind telling us a little bit, giving it some
practical?
Well,
no, because it's such a common pattern in almost all the professional people I know, or actually, no matter what your profession is, I find people working many more hours than they're paid for. And I tell them that, well, in this case, this person called me and they're usually a very highly functioning individual. And I said, You sound really depressed. No, it's a reactive kind of thing. I said, well, you're still depressed. You know, if you're sad, you're crying, you're in pain, you know. I said, have you ever put any boundaries on this job that you're working at least 20 hours extra on a week? Have you ever said, okay, if these are my tasks that you have stated, this is how much time there is in the time that I'm given. If I'm supposed to be working a 40-hour week and I'm really working a 60 to 70, 6 days a week, and I'm supposed to only be working 5 days a week, there has to come a point where you have to have some boundaries. And I think this is extraordinarily hard in American society. There is a perception that you are available because I said you are. And many people live in terror. There's always an edge of terror. So I find that it's extraordinarily common for example, among healthcare professionals and lawyers, you know, and some people are reimbursed and some people are not reimbursed at all. But I don't care how well you're reimbursed. If you don't even have time to enjoy, what good is it?
I agree. I mean, I would say in education, too, I found a little addictive.
Oh, there is no question. I'm the daughter of two educators. I can remember how many nights making bulletin boards?
Till late, till it was perfect. Until it was perfect.
And she's on the side grading. Now, that's in addition to her administrative tax.
Right. You know. So we do need a break. We need a break. And what would you say? I mean, what would you say to us?
That's where you have to gain some sense of your own groundedness, bring about your own calm. So then you can begin to organize, not necessarily in anger, not necessarily in righteousness, but in a right sense, in a sense of, okay, this is a system issue. How can we cope with this as a system issue? How can we help one another? That's, for example, like, I'll never forget the first time I ever found a website. This is one of my favorite charities, is giving it, what does that teacher need? You know, that teacher needs 30 notebooks and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But there, in other words, instead of just trying to plow through and do it myself, I'll somehow save the world myself, one person at a time. You have to sometimes find community. And I just remind people to find community instead of just burning out. I see so many remarkable souls that have burned out. And that's when their adrenals have gotten to the point they don't have any
energy. Nothing left. Yeah.
There's nothing absolutely. Like, you wake up, you're exhausted. And you haven't even started the day. You can't even get up to make breakfast before you go to work.
Yeah, you know, we've done that to ourselves, really, there's no doubt.
Can we talk a little bit about stress?
Yes, please.
I just want to point out that stress, you know, your stress is not just something that happens in your brain or just in your, you know, there's this little part of your brain that's about the size of a nut called an amygdala. And every time you're really stressed, your amygdala starts talking to the rest of your old brain, which is called the hippocampus limbic system. And it says, oh, I'm worn out, send more cortisol. So the cortisol comes from the adrenal glands and the kidneys. And eventually the adrenal gland says, I don't have any. Here, you can have that. So you've gone from a curve that should look like this in the morning and slowly come down through the day so that you have a nice low level so you can go to sleep in the melatonin and then starts, and the pineal gland starts with the melatonin rising, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. So that now you look what we call flatline. Cortisol just like this all day. You don't even have a surge in the morning. You're supposed to have a morning surge of cortisol. So when you're constantly in a state of being stressed, then you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what trauma is going to come. You don't know. It begins to impact every aspect of your system. There's early aging, there's more atherosclerotic changes. There's stress has an extraordinary impact on your whole biologic system. So part of looking at trauma and relieving trauma is all about, one, reducing stress when possible. And then also, so I'll teach, for example, like something that we'll get to a little bit later, maybe called trauma tapping. But maybe somebody else needs a walk in the park. Maybe somebody else needs to go swimming. Maybe somebody else just needs a day off.
Right.
someone else needs different boundaries. You can't say there's one solution for everything, but it is about trying to help people open their, because it's so amazing to me how many people come in and say, oh, that'll just never work with my boss. And I said, okay, well, let's try to figure out what will work with your boss. And then we're going to decide, have you thought of trying to get another boss? You know,
right. That's
really what I think is this huge shift in COVID, where people said, I'm working for how much per hour, and nobody's dealing or coping or allowing that I'm a human being. And who's taking the greatest brunt of that? Women with children.
Right. Yeah, I recently was working with a educational community, and one person said, I don't think that trauma really applies to me. Like, I don't know, like trauma is something that's out there that happens with people who their house is burned down or they've been in a bad car wreck. Trauma doesn't have anything to do with my life.
Okay, so it's nice that you have not had a horrendously negative aspect of trauma, like war, murder, suicide, But I see trauma at varying levels. Again, we're talking about a spectrum. You're talking about a spectrum of hurt. And hurt can be very light, and it can be profoundly death.
Horrible.
Okay. So, but when people, like, for example, when they talk about the trauma of what I call the isms, whether it's the classism, the sexism, the racisms, the ethnocentrisms, we can go through a couple of isms, right?
Right.
And that's really what we were describing before when we said some of us often don't recognize the traumas we're dealing with because we know we're more fortunate. That's kind of what happened in our first dialogue where you said, well, did you have trauma? I actually think the greatest trauma I had was being a physician who felt that my patients were not getting a fair crack at receiving the benefits of the medical system. Mm. And that I found that more traumatic than any of my other isms.
Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about trauma and whether people, and it's on a spectrum, how do we recognize in our bodies that we're experiencing
something?
Because
if you're upset, if you're distressed, if you feel tightening, then that's why people say, well, I go to work out, or I at least walk, or I just try to, you know, go sit outside on the back porch. You know, you need to look at what I call stress reducing activities. Stress. So part of the reason why I tell people there's acupuncture, there's EFT, there's TTT, trauma tapping technique. There's breathing. That's why if people happen to have a meditative or a prayer tradition, I say, and how much have you allowed yourself to do that? And are you just sitting there begging for help? Or are you allowing yourself to be contained and within and grounded and centered and recognize that you must take your thoughts to a place where you are going to create that which you wish to live in?
We all need that.
That co-creation.
Yeah. Co-creation,
you know,
absolutely.
You don't co-create. I think of my grandmother, who was a divorced woman in the 40s. She was born around turn of the century. And she told both her children, she said, you're going to college. Now, this is a woman who lives in Appalachia in a little tiny town in West Virginia. Both her children, my uncle ended up becoming a physical education teacher and a coach, and eventually received state awards. He's now in his 90s. And my mother ended up gaining multiple degrees at multiple institutions, NYU, you know, Texas State, and helped develop some of the first classes for learning differences and ED. And I think all of this came out of a woman who was the 13th child off of a farm, you know, was one of the first people in her generation to finish high school. She had to go 100 miles away to finish high school because there just weren't any high schools for African-American women in her part of Virginia.
So by her intention,
she created that which helped me to build. And I'm sure you have a similar story, but I find similar stories across ethnicities, across gender, in so many people. There is so much co-creation always occurring that we're not taught to savor it.
To grab the joy from it.
Grab that joy of it and say, and that sometimes actually, I think, can also block your trauma because you're so busy and, well, look what they had and I've got all this and I'm still not. But it just means you have to learn how to find that level in your own life. So then you go out. So I had to reset. That's what you did. We all reset at different times in our lives. And so when you have those resets, you can either make them into a tremendous, difficult period of your life, or you can also use it, or it can be both. Everything is not black or white. I love how people say everything is, you know, you can grieve for this amount of time. You can grieve over this trauma this amount of time. It has Kubler-Ross herself clearly stated, it's not linear. These are just the different stages you may go through. It doesn't say when you will go through it, for how long, when you go through it. You don't go from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5. But these are stages of grief that you will often go for. You need to recognize when you're grieving over something, even though it may not look extraordinary to someone else.
Pay attention to your body. Pay attention to who you are,
individual you are. And that is all a form or a level of trauma. And sometimes a little bitty traumatic bits are just as impactful. Because I don't know, I've seen people who can, everything's water off of a duck's back. And for somebody else, it's life devastating.
Right. One of my friends says it's like being having 1,000 paper cuts.
Right. But 1,000 paper cuts in one person may just make their skin thicker and pretty. Mm-hmm. And in the other one, they're dripping blood all the time as they walk.
Right. Hold on with us. We're time for a break. Hold on there, Dr. Iris. It's time for a break. We're here with Dr. Iris L. Davis. We're talking about how to bring joy in our lives just by taking a moment, just taking a breath. We're going to come back. We've talked about creating community. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
As different layers of consciousness unfold in each show, you won't want to miss a second of this. Make sure to tune in to Transmutation Time, Energetic Alchemy for an Amazing Life, every month with Kelly Kay on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Kelly and the show, visit www.enlightenedmedicine.com. You have the power to turn trauma into transcendence. Come bring your shadow into the light so you can begin to truly heal and grow today.
Looking for the next Can't Put It Down book? Pick up Unapologetically Favored by Courtney Cottrell, 21-year active duty master chief with the U.S. Navy and motivational speaker. See this beautiful coming-of-age story unfold through the eyes of a true leader. A testimony of tenacity, faith, and self-love that will have you embarking on your own path of self-discovery. Visit unapologeticallyfavored.com to learn more about Courtney and her work.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack, and I'm excited to tell you about the latest technology. It is new to this country, and it's just amazing. It's out of Germany. The Healy is state-of-the-art technology for improving and changing the body vibration. I have more information about the Healy on my website, MaryJaneMack.com, or you can call the office at 888-777-4232.
While standing in line to pay for lunch, I heard a young man say to the lady next to him, "It's okay, I'll pay for you." I assumed they were together, but in the ensuing conversation, it became clear that they didn't know each other. The young man said, "I try to do something for someone else every day. Today, you're it." He smiled. So did the lady. So did I. So did everyone who heard. This is a great example of Mahatmyam, having a great soul. This greatness of soul is infectious. It spreads. That young man's action delighted everyone there. That lady has a story to share with her friends and family. I'm now sharing it with you. Random acts of kindness are incredibly powerful. It's the power of a great soul, Mahatmyam. Join me, Sarah Main, on Damayanti, the show for your soul, where we discover this greatness together. And check out my website, damayanti.store.
We are back on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. I have Dr. Iris L. Davis, who is a functional physician and a medical intuitive consultant, or an intuitive medical consultant. And she's here talking about how she has healed from within and also how we can bring more joy to our lives. Dr. Davis, how can we reach you? If listeners want to reach out to you.
Functionalmedicinecenter.org.
Awesome. So we have talked about so many different things, and they have all been really enlightening. And we've talked about trauma, we've talked about stress, and we've talked about co-creation, we've touched on community. And in this final segment, how do we have joy in community and stop stress in our lives? Like, how do we bring it home for ourselves?
Okay, so there's a reality to life. And part of that reality is there's always going to be something going on. That's what we came down here. That's what we came to do, is learn how to work with stress. It doesn't mean that it's easy living during a profoundly stressful pandemic. I'm not saying that it's easy. These things are not necessarily easy. They are challenges, however, that you have to fit into your life and understand you can either take the life you're given and find where you can create joy in it and a sense of self and a sense of containment. And we all have stories, I don't care what your tradition is, of someone who has, whether you're an immigrant or I think of all the people who immigrate from all various countries all over the world, or people who are a very small minority, and how they're trying to balance those needs. There's all kinds of different ways to create community. And so I leave that to people. What I do try to give people are real tactile gifts. Like, for example, there's a technique from a group called the Peaceful Heart Network out of Sweden. And they teach people all over the world. And they went like into the Congo and Rwanda and places where there was civil war, where, you know, people were being slaughtered. And people had a lot of post-traumatic stress disorder. And so that form of tapping called trauma tapping technique, and there are all kinds of variations of everything. There's a free app called the Self-Help Network that you can get in Google Play or whatever it's called for Macs, you know, for iPhones. And I try to get people to do that, because tapping is really like self-acupuncture. It's a way of resetting your nervous system. It's a way of resetting your hormones. It's a way of resetting your neurobiology. Just like acupuncture is massage, myofascial treatment, et cetera. You know, we have all these various layers and types of treatments that people think, well, if I don't get it from I want people to have something they can do in the middle of the night. I want them to have something they can teach a six-year-old. Mm. Like, I thought if we could teach all the children who come to school and they're already frustrated because they didn't get enough food to eat, or that, okay, let's tap. And then we're going to sit down and then we'll eat.
So can you tell us a little bit about the tapping?
Oh, I'd love to talk about the tapping. Let's go through it. I want you to think of something that is working your last and only good nerve. And now I really want to speak to my traditions. And I'll say, you know, I come of a tradition where we say that there's only one good nerve. And not only is there only one good nerve, you stop on it. And I want you to take that situation that they're stopping on your last good nerve, your one and only.
I try to compartmentalize, Dr. Iris.
I'm so sorry?
I said I try to compartmentalize.
So I want you to really focus on it for a minute.
Okay.
And then now that you focused on it, I want you to do the breathing again. We're going to take two deep breaths. Okay. Take a second deep breath. And I want you to take one hand and I want you to just hit this like 15 times. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to go to the inner aspect of your eyebrows. I'm taking off my glasses. I can't see, but I know you all can see me.
I can see you.
Do 15 times.
So for those people who are listening, we're tapping at the top of our eyebrows. And now we're moving to...
We're going to the heart, the edge of the heart eye socket. And we're doing it again 15 times.
Edge of our eye socket, 15 times.
Now we're going directly under your eye, again at the edge of the eye socket.
Under the eyes.
15 times. And take one hand and do right beneath your nose.
Right beneath your nose.
And now you're going to go right here between your lips and your chin.
Under your lips, before your chin.
And now we're going to go right underneath your clavicles, those bones that go right across here.
Right here. And these are all energy.
These are actually acupuncture points. But, you know, all kinds of different traditions. So now without lifting your arm, you're going to go underneath your armpit and you're going to hit that 15 times. Uh-huh. And now you're going to go to your pinky.
Pinky. I've never heard of the pinky one before.
Oh, yeah. The hand, the whole hand. You're actually hitting what are called well points.
Well point.
Well, like a well that you uh-huh. draw water from.
So on the side of your hand, inside of your hands?
Right here at the edgy.
Okay. Right here. You're listening. We're on our index finger now.
And we're going to the thumb.
And we're going to do the thumb, just tapping on the top of the thumb. She's a good tapper. She's tapping and showing at the same time.
Right. And then we're going to go back. And we're going to take two breaths. And take another breath. And now we're going to go back. And we're going to do it again on the other side.
No way.
Yes.
So the cycle runs on one side. And I'm going to keep talking, Dr. Iris.
And then you can do it as many times as you want till you calm down.
And to the other side.
And then you're going to do it here again.
Up on top of the eyes again.
See, now you know. So I'm moving faster. Now we're going to the sides.
To the sides of your eye.
Now we're going to the
underneath
side
your eye, underneath your
nose,
underneath your mouth. I hope that you are listening and you're also tapping and you're here. Also taking a deep breath. Like we're taking a deep breath here. And I hope that you are able to reset and then under your arm. Oh, and other
don't,
side.
Don't raise your arm.
Don't
or
raise
on
your
the
arm.
Other side.
Okay, I look real scrunched up doing this. Okay. I love you, but I look scrunched. Okay.
Okay. Come on back up to your clavicles.
Okay. And then the hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the inside of the hands. So.
No, you're really doing right here on top of
pinky
your,
like, and on the top. So I hope that you're able to use this. And Dr. Iris, can you tell us again where people could find out about this
sequence?
Self-Help
Network. It's a free app. Google Play.
A free app.
And whatever. What's the iStore called? Whatever. Apple Store.
The Self-Help Network.
Uh-huh. And you can also go online and they have free classes.
And free classes. Dr. Iris, thank you so much.
You can get actually certified in this. Wait a minute. We're not done.
We're not done?
When you've done it all, I want you to give yourself a hug. Rub yourself, close your eyes, and take two deep breaths.
Only for you, Dr. Iris.
Feel that love, that appreciation, that capacity.
That's awesome.
Ability.
That's awesome.
That's called havening. All
havening.
Of you, yes, love yourself. As you love yourself, you may love others.
Oh, wow. That is so fantastic.
Thank you. You are a gift to the world today.
Oh, wow. That is so fantastic. We are at the end of the show, and what a perfect way to end with the haven of loving yourself. I want to thank you today for being here, Dr. Iris. L. Davis, functional physician and intuitive medical consultant, for sharing about the bringing joy into our lives and giving us practical tools to do so. Thank you for tuning in to Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa, living every day in peace. I had a wonderful time and I love myself. Please join us every second and fourth Wednesday right here on Transformational Talk Radio. And next time we meet, we'll have Nikki Weaver. She'll be with us and she's from On the Inside and she works with women who are in prison and brings them love and light on the inside. You know, remember, treat yourself like you're your best friend. See you next time on Love and Light. Thanks for listening to Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa, Everyday Living in Peace. You spent the last hour engaging in challenging and transformational conversations, all for the purpose of living a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Join me next time to continue growing in love and light through healing practices and acts of love. To learn more or work with me, Dr. Lisa, visit educationthroughengagement.com. That's educationthroughengagement.com. Remember, the world changes when we change by coming home to love. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.